Brother, we may be few, but I'm sure that every one of us is right where the Lord wanted us. Well, I hope so. Of course, I wanted them all here. Yeah.
Me too.
I'm glad Joel made it. I'm glad you're here. Smiley's here also. I see her smiling. As I told Brother Jordan a few minutes ago, that I heard 8 messages in the last few days, so I have 8 devotions this morning. No, we're not gonna have eight devotions. One of them is more than I can have. Before I went to Bentley, I assumed that I would be given the devotion this morning, and I began to think about that, and I could never make up my mind what the devotion was going to be about. I had no idea what the topic was going to be, or the passage of Scripture, or I was at a complete loss, and I become a little fearful under those circumstances, because I'd like to have an idea as to where I'm going. Well, I still don't know where I'm going, but I know for a fact that the Lord knows. The Lord knows exactly where I'm going to go. We saw a lot of good friends. We renewed our fellowship with them. Had a good time visiting every one of them. And we did. The trip was a blessing to me. And I suppose it was to my wife. Everything that was a blessing to her is recorded on her camera. I'm moving over here so I can see her face. No, don't you do that to me. She's trying to hide. Because she might be the one that I'm talking about. Brother Jennings, of course, was on the forefront of my mind. As we went, before we went, as we went, and after we got there. And I was wondering if he was going to be there. I was concerned about the bad weather he was having to go through, the snow and the ice. But he was there. And we heard him preach twice. Brother Jennings looks very frail. He was determined in his mind not to say anything about his condition or predicament. And that's not a good word, predicament. God's word says to die is gain. And that particular thought and verse was used a number of times in the past 3 or 4 days. I bet you every messenger, every pastor, every preacher that stood and preached used that scripture, to die is gain. Brother Jennings' first message was somewhat confused. He had a passage and he had an idea of where he was going, but I don't think it was where the Lord wanted him to go. Now, speaking from my point of view, the second message he came and before he got there, well, he was convinced because so many people come to him and they reminded him that they were praying for him. And I had done the same thing. I told him that we were praying diligently for him, and we quite often read some of his blogs and the information that was sent out by some member of his family, and I believe it was his son. I'm not positive about that, or a brother. And I don't know anything about that much about his family. But his second message came, and I really want every one of you to listen to that message. And it will be on sermon audio. It is on sermon audio. I don't know whether it's on our broadcast position or not yet, Brother Jordan, because I'm transferring it over, marking it so that you can listen to it, and it'll be listed under favorites. If you go under sermon audio / Paul Jordan and go on there, and there'll be in the menu favorites, and it'll be listed under there. It will be when I confirm it. I believe I've already moved. I don't remember what I moved. But I want you to listen to that message. And I'm going to use a few verses this morning. Not trying to steal Brother Jennings' message, but it's the Lord's message. And it's weighed so heavily on me. It's found in Joshua 23. 23rd chapter of the book of Joshua. But Brother Jennings, as he stood there, I could tell that he had lost a lot of strength. And he really didn't want to talk about himself personally, Brother Jordan. By the time he got to the second message, he had to say some things. The Lord laid it on his heart. In chapter 23, verse 14 was his text for this chapter. He says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." And that was his text. And I can assure you that I'm having more trouble with it than he was having with it. There were times when he had difficulties, but he wanted to point out a few things in this chapter. And I want you to listen to that message, if you possibly can. But the number one thing that it says here in the book, in this 23rd chapter, Joshua says in verses 1 and also in verse 2, he says, "I am old and stricken in age." We all have an appointed day to go to the Lord. We all have an appointed day. He stood there and he says, a dying man is speaking to dying people. And we all have that moment coming in our life. We're going to face death. We have a limited time upon the face of this earth. By the way, he's 60 years of age. I thought he was about 50. But he's 60. A little over 60. And his thoughts and everything came out of this chapter here. And he talked about how much God's Word has meant to him since he's in this situation. He said, God's Word is everything to him. He said, there's nothing else that means it. By the way, you know, when you go into a congregation and there are a number of people in there, there's always noise going on. Kids are running back and forth. Kids are beating on the counters. Kids are crying. People are getting up. They decide suddenly they got to go to the restroom after church starts. When Brother Jennings was speaking, you could have heard a pin drop. It was deathly quiet. They all listened because he read that scripture. I am going the way of the earth. Of all the earth, there's nobody left out. If you think that you're going to, that you have everything in absolute control and that you're going to live forever, you have a sad day coming. We're all going the way of the earth. But he said the number one thing in this whole passage that Joshua brought out and that he wanted to bring out to us is found in verse 8. Where it says, but cleave unto the Lord your God, or cling. That's all we have to hold on to. To hold on to the Lord all the days of our life. And if we're holding on to this world, we don't have very much to hold on to. He said in verse 2, like I said, I am old and stricken in age. And I'm not going to expound upon this word for word and everything that he said, but a few things that I want to point out. But in our clinging unto the Lord, we have some benefits of the Lord. Verse 3 says in the last part of it there, it says, God is he, the Lord your God is he that fought for you. You know, we belong to the Lord. I hope and pray, and I believe that every one of us here belongs to the Lord. But you know, we have battles in our lifetime. We have situations. Joel, we have sicknesses. And Joel, I'm not saying that just for you. I'm saying that for all of us. We all have situations of life, difficulties that we come up against. And our God and our Lord, He fights for us. And that's what Joshua is saying here. And he admits it. Verse 6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book. And I'll stop there for a minute. You know, when the Lord Jesus, he went to a wedding in the early part of his ministry, and they were running out of wine. We all know the story. And his mother told the disciples or whoever was there, the men of the wedding, she told them, do whatever he says to do. Do it. And the deal was is for them to go and fill the water pots with water and come to find out it was nothing but perfect, pure wine. And the wine for the wedding feast. But she said, go and do exactly what he tells you to do. And that's what we should be doing. We should take God's word and it should become part of our life. Every part of our life. And if we have any doubts of which way to turn in our life, God's word will tell us which way to turn. We say, well, the answer's not in everything. Yeah, if you read far enough, it's in there. If you read it with the right spirit, God will instruct you whether to turn to the left or to the right. And here Joshua says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book. Brethren, Jennings, as you did also last week, Brother Jordan, he said the most important thing in his life was God's Word. When he gets up in the morning, the first thing that's on his mind is God's instructions for the day. And if he doesn't have that instruction, well, he gets the Bible and he begins to read it and search out what the Lord has for him that day. He wants to communicate with the Lord continually. When he wakes up in the middle of the night, he's thinking about the Lord. When he walks to and fro during the daytime, whatever he's doing, he's thinking about the Lord and what the Lord might have for him to do. Now, Brother Jennings stumbled around on a few of his words, and I could clearly understand why in him doing this, because of his weakness, because of the total circumstances. Because he was very humble about this situation. And we should be careful about how we're living for the Lord every day of our life. Because we have a day coming when we're going to go and be the way of the earth. That day is coming. You will never pass that day. He knows the appointed time. I don't know my appointed time. Now, a few weeks ago, I was beginning to get very suspicious when I was feeling so bad, Brother Jordan. I said, well, and I wasn't talking about it.
Nearer than the day that you
leave. Well, that's right. That's right. It becomes more near every day. But at that particular time, because of the way I felt, I just knew that and convinced that it was going to arrive rather quickly. But whether it took place that day or the day after, it will surely come. And those around you will be disheartened. They will cry and weep probably. But as all the preachers over said, to die is gain. Now, somehow I've done lost my place here. Let me get back over there. He fights our good fights. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right or to the right hand or to the left, that you come not among these nations. In the Bible, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, when it speaks of nations, it's not talking about some foreign nations. It's talking about all those people around you. If you don't understand what I mean, go downtown, begin to walk the streets, and you see all kinds of nations down there. Go out in the business places around here, and you see all types of nations around you. All types of people, speaking many different languages. They that come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention. Notice that word there. I hope you go back and read this passage again, the whole chapter. In fact, I have some other chapters for you to read. Unless I could stay here for about 3 hours. Make mention. It says, neither make mention of the name of their gods. You know, when we go out into the world, as the elect of God, the people out there, they'll be talking about everything in the world. They'll be talking about their jobs. They'll be talking about the government. They'll be talking about the Congress. They'll be talking about everything under the sun, but they will not be talking about the Lord very often. Sometimes occasionally you'll hear someone talking about the Lord. But it says, neither make mention of the name of their gods. What are their gods? Don't be getting engrossed and involved with them talking about their gods and their situation. Talk about your God. I believe Joshua is telling us that. We have a Lord God to live for. And we can proclaim who He is. And when we go forth, we can say, the Lord sure has blessed me today. The Lord sure did bless me yesterday, Joel. Neither make mention of the name of their God, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow down yourselves unto them. But the total sum of the whole situation found there in verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. Well, I marked verse 10, but I'm not sure why. It said, one man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, He it is that fighteth for you, as He hath promised you. All of God's Word promises us good benefits throughout, for those that belong to Him. And these things that He has promised us will surely come to pass. Now, the Arminians might have some problem with that particular thought. But I don't have any trouble with it, Brother Jordan. Now, I might suffer along the way. I might have pains, Joel. Whatever the Lord has promised us will surely come to pass. Verse 11 says, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves. What should we do about even when we have these difficulties, when we have pain and suffering, when we're short of our income? And as I say that, I'm thinking of Bruce. We need to remember to pray for Bruce. And I hope he got that job. I hope he gets that job. I hope things work out okay for him. But whatever our circumstances is, we need to remember this one thing. Right here in verse 11. That you love the Lord your God. That's preached quite often here. That we should love the Lord. And that's the way it should be. But between verses 12 and... Well, verses 12 and 13, we can see some warnings there. And I'll just basically read through them. Some warning. Else, what if you don't live this kind of life up here? What if you don't cleave to the things of God, unto the Lord your God? What if you don't live that way? What if you don't belong to Him? Verses 12. Else, you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations. What are you doing? You're going out and cleaving to the things of this world that's around you. Even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty. Notice that word, certainty. A warning. Joshua is leaving a warning for the people of God here. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from... You wonder why you have so many problems in this life? Because you go out and you strike hands with them all the time. I hate to even say that, Brother Jordan, because I know many times, I shake and strike hands with people around me. I want them to like me. I want them to like me. I want to be their friend. And I can be their friend, but they don't know, they won't accept my friendship under my term. So I have to accept their friendship under their terms, and I have to strike hands with them and join in with them. And I have to laugh at their jokes, and I have to talk about the same subject matters they talk about, instead of talking about my God and my Savior. Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you. Huh? The elect of God in that nation had false gods, false teachers, and prophets that lived in the midst of them. And some of them remain in the midst of us even today in our lives, wherever we go. Among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to know for a certainty, I'm sorry, I'll get there in a minute, for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations. See his promise? If you're not going to serve the Lord, if you're not going to stand for him, if you're not going to speak for him, he's not going to take care of you. He's not going to fight your enemies. He's not going to take care of your situations in life. It works both ways. Now, I didn't say that. Brother Jordan, I'm not sure I understand all of that. But it says it right here. It works both ways. That's what he's saying. God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares. Notice the word there. They're going to be traps unto you and scourges in your sides. I wonder what Paul's thorn in the side was. Well, I don't know. I wonder what the thorn in my side is. And thorns in your eyes. Boy, that'd be terrible, have a thorn in your eye. I have one that's called a cataract in the right eye over here, Joel. I don't know what to call it. The doctor called it a cataract. I can look out here at something that, and it was writing. If there was writing across that wall and I see a dark spot over here, and now it has shifted over here to this side over here, but it's not coming out of this eye, but it's shifted in that eye. I don't understand it moving, but there's a cataract in there. I've got a thorn in my eye. Until you how long will this last? If you reject the Lord and you don't live the life for him that he wants you to live. Now, I know that it's proclaimed and preached that if you belong to the Lord, you will live that life, Brother Jordan. I know that. But Joshua says here, if you don't live this, if you're not living that kind of life, well, my first comment would be, maybe you don't belong to him. But right here it says, how long will this last? Do you see the words there, Linda? Ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. As long as you remain up on the face of this earth, those thorns in the eye and the scourges in the side and the traps and the snares, they're going to continue in your life because you're not clinging to him. Now, I'm just going to read the last part of it here. I must. Verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all of your hearts and in all of your souls that not one thing hath failed. Has anything ever failed? Has God ever failed in keeping his promise with us? He's always kept his promise with me, Brother Jordan. That includes the evil idea. Not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All you are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Joshua is telling the people of God this. And we can know it so. All of his promises will come to pass. No matter how much pain and suffering we have in this lifetime, brother. What's the other words I can use? Tribulation. Afflictions. No matter what your terminology is, not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as notice that word as. That's an important word there. But I'm out of time. That as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you. He has some good things promised to us. But notice the next phrase. So shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things. If you're not going to cling to Him, you're not going to be obedient to Him, you're not going to serve Him as He teaches you to serve Him from His Word, from all of this Bible, from front to cover, from the book of Genesis to the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse whatever it is, Brother Jordan, 22, 21. All of it. So shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, if you can't be obedient to Him, until He have... That looks like bad English to me, David. But whatever. He have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Who's going to destroy you if you're not following after Him? If you're not serving after Him? If you don't belong to Him? Who's going to bring all these evil things up on you?
Yeah.
My Bible right here says, which the Lord your God hath given you. Verse 16. When He, my Bible says have, but I like to use the word has, David. I don't understand that. I'm not a linguist. When He has transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, it says, when ye, it didn't say He now, when you have transgressed, when you're not obedient to God's Word, you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and have gone and served other gods. When you use the expression other gods, everybody's got the idea. They're talking about some little cupid doll over a door that they've seen some denominations place over the door. But there are many other gods besides that little cupid doll hanging over the door. If you want me to, you let me follow you around in your life. I'll point some of them out to you. How do I know what they look like? It's because I've got plenty of them in my life. May the Lord have mercy on me. I've seen them around, Brother Jordan. Served other gods. I hope I'm not serving them. And bowed yourselves to them. Then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which He hath given unto you. Well, so what are we to do? Verse 8. Cleave unto the Lord your God. That's the best thing we can do. We can cling to Him. Now, I really like to cling to my wife, but it's much better to cling to the Lord. Now, that's one devotion. And I'll hold it and reserve the others for later, if the Lord allow me to use them. I had another thought for this morning, and I was determined that I was going to deliver that other thought, Brother Jordan. I'll give you an assignment, all of you. Read Galatians chapter 6 and James chapter 5. That's your assignment for the week. I'm not going to even read it to you. I'm not going to make any comments. But read it this week. and see if the Lord might have something there for you. Brother Jordan, would you come?
Sometimes we wonder why God gives all these warnings. But God's people will heed those warnings. The rest of the world will not. But it justifies God, doesn't it? You can't say, well, I didn't know. The Israelites certainly could not say, well, I didn't know. And none of us sitting here today can ever say, well, I didn't know. Again, some people would say, well, if we're predestined, Brother Marvin, if we're foreordained, if God already knows, then why does he waste his breath? But he does know, doesn't he? And he knew exactly among these people that Joshua warns here and admonishes, he knew exactly who it was that would heed his word and who it wasn't. In the very next chapter, Joshua is shown calling all of the people of Israel, the heads and the elders and so forth, the judges and the officers, and he's admonishing them again about essentially these same things, only he's rehearsing for them all the way back to Abraham. Indeed, when Abraham was in the land of the Chaldeans worshiping idols. And he warns them against those kind of things. But then in verse 14 he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Seems like that's what Jesus said God seeks us for, doesn't it? For the Lord seeketh them to serve him in spirit and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now you see this verse, or at least this part of this verse, many times, and you hear it many times. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And most of the time it's implied, well, you either serve God or you serve idols. But this is not what is being said here by Joshua. He's saying, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went. And among all the people through whom we passed, and the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Sounds good, doesn't it? How many today are making that same profession? But look at the next verse. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. Why not? For he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then will he turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. But what happened? They did not serve the Lord as a whole. Now, again, thankfully, as Elijah found out many years later, Elijah, though, says, Lord, I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 that will not bow the knee unto Baal. But we are drawing nigh to that day that is so spoken. It is appointed unto man once to die. But we don't know that day, do we? As Brother Jerry pointed out, we don't know that day. Even Brother Jennings doesn't know that day. He knows that he is probably, unless God does perform a miracle, then he knows that his day is very near. But, I think more and more about it all the time. How near is my day?
We can know that our day
is near. Especially since God has said in his word, for man's days shall be what? 70 years. But if they, by reason of strength, they are 80 years, and they're still spent in labor and sorrow, for we're soon cut off and we fly away. So that day is near. But I was thinking about this verse in Romans, verse chapter 13, verse 11. He says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Does that sound good or bad? Well, it sounds good until people start thinking about, well, but to get there you have to die. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And there are those, some of those gods that you were talking about, Brother Jerry. All right. Some very thought-provoking words this morning. So let us take heed to them.